Nick style.
It's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Cam's got the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. We got Pineapple McClure over here getting his whiteboard ready. What inspirational quote will he come up with next? It's for the Periscope only audience, I guess. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee, Cody McClure.
Doing pretty well, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. You know, TV gives everyone an image, but radio gives birth to a million images and a million brains. Peggy Noonan. How are you on this fine Wednesday?
I'm okay.
You like my radio quotes?
They're okay. I'm just glad you started keeping up with the whiteboard again. You had kind of tapped out and given up on it, so I'm glad to see that you have retaken the initiative.
How's that on camera, Cam? Should I adjust left, right? Good there?
We're good to go.
Well, eventually I'll run out of radio quotes, so I'll have to put something else.
You'll have to think of a new shtick.
That's
fun. I'll
start doing some other things. But
you can just go with inspirational quotes. You can just – good movie quotes. I mean, there are plenty of quotes out here throughout history that we can get to.
Like quote of the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to call it the quote of the day. We just put it up there.
Yeah. Everyone will know it's the quote of that particular day.
Sure. Sure.
They make books like that, you know, those little flip books?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know.
You start each day with a new quote. A
little inspiration.
Something to live by, something to get your day started. So did you have a good night last night?
Yeah, everything's fine. Me, Ben Lee, and Rick went and played some sports trivia.
Oh, nice.
Hung out, a little station camaraderie.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
You got the invite.
I know, I said thanks.
Oh, okay, well, you implied to the audience that as if you did not get the invite. Thanks for answering us an hour and a half later.
Well, you're welcome for answering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. I guess I'll take it. At least you answered.
Yeah, sometimes.
An hour and a half later, but you
sometimes
answered.
People don't even answer.
Yeah.
Well, I knew I was going to be a little busy last night anyway, so I wouldn't have been able to make it.
We choked. I don't want to accuse people of cheating. That's not what I do. But we did really good. We were 5 points behind going into the last question. You have to wager your points, you know, just with the topic. We're in second place, 5 points behind, 30 points ahead of the next team. The topic's golf. I don't know where my golf knowledge ranks. Like, I keep up with the majors, but if it's anything other than, like, the most elementary golf question, I'm probably not going to get it right. So I only wagered 29 of our 155 points. Mm. And then we got the question right. It was pretty easy.
What was it?
Just name the top five golfers in the world. You only had to get four of the five.
The top five golfers in the world now?
Yeah, as of Black Monday after the U.S. Open.
Just the leaderboard? Just
No, the top five, the ranks.
The ranking.
Not the top five from Pebble Beach, but yeah, the top five players in the world in their standings.
Right now. You got to get four out of five.
Yeah.
And you were able to
get it. Yeah, we were able to get it, but then we got passed by everybody because everyone below us bet all their points, and we only bet 29. So we didn't place. And that's a pretty bad feeling to go from second place – feeling good. We missed a NASCAR question in the last round. Then I was kicking myself because we didn't do Cam's NASCAR Minute yesterday. So, like, I was like, maybe if we did NASCAR Minute yesterday, Cam would have given me this information.
What was the NASCAR question?
What track were they at when the truck series had to overturn their champion? Like on this past weekend, they had to do something they hadn't done since, like, the 90s where a winner of the race got disqualified. So they had to, you know, award it to second place.
And they asked what track they were at last weekend?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Was it the same as the Cup Series?
Well, no, because the Cup Series was off. That was the tricky thing. Yeah. So I was like, I would know this if the Cup Series wasn't off.
But I don't know.
The Cup,
Kentucky?
No, Iowa. I didn't even know they raced in Iowa.
Yeah.
I guess Charlotte, because like Cam told me they're in Charlotte for the All-Star race, so maybe they did the truck race there. It wasn't right. So we were five points behind, and another one was a, you know, a really tough relief. You know, like what relief pitcher got inducted in the Hall of Fame in 2006? Like it was undrafted. You know, like who the I don't know.
Those are tough, especially that NASCAR question. Nobody watches the truck series. Nobody ever.
So we were 5 points behind and should have gotten at least second, but I didn't wager correctly. So I felt like I let the team down, even though I answered all the questions.
Can I guess the golfers?
Yeah, go for it.
Brooks Koepka.
Yep. I don't know if he's number one, but he was on there. I assume he's number one.
Dustin Johnson.
Yep.
Spieth.
Spieth sucks now.
Does he?
Yeah.
Rory.
Yep.
So I got one more chance?
Yep.
God, the pressure. So much pressure. He's an American?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two. There's one that's not, and there's one that you're missing two of them. There's one. There's one non-American, and there's one American.
Thinking I'm wrong, but I'll say Ricky Fowler.
No. Tiger.
Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger.
Tiger's in the top five?
Yeah, and Justin Rose.
Tiger's a tricky one.
We didn't get Tiger either.
That's the tricky one, because who's going to say Tiger right now? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Damn. So y'all got it, though?
Yeah, but we didn't wager.
I should have known Justin Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So it was pretty easy, but we didn't win, so or even play, so I was mad about that. So then I went home and just played NBA 2K.
Did you do well there?
No, I didn't, actually. I tried online play for the first time. I was 0-for-3, and then I picked up my GM mode and played with the 2019-2020 Atlanta Hawks, and I played a couple games and went 0-for-2 there.
Were you intoxicated?
I was drinking.
It's tough to play competitive.
I feel like my shots games. Were a little off because my right. reaction time was a little off.
It's really hard to play competitive sports games when you're drunk or when you're drinking. It's hard to be good at them.
So I just took a whole bunch of L's last night. I was like 0-for-5. And then 0-for-6 if you want to throw sports trivia in there.
Well, today, luckily, is a new day.
Yeah, I don't have anything planned today. I'm just going to go home and take it easy.
Yeah.
Going to work. Going to do some sell stuff after the show. Then I'm just going to go home. Fix myself dinner.
What are you going to have?
I don't know. I don't know. I got to figure it out.
Manicotti.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Manicotti. That's what you should have.
I don't know if we have any huge stories of the day lined up. Just coming across the board right now, if you're a Memphis Grizzly fan, Mike Conley, officially gone. The Mike Conley era in Memphis is over. I don't know where Mike Conley leaves in terms of ranked as best Grizzlies ever, but I'm saying he's probably in the top five pretty comfortably. Well, top five is not really a hot take. Let's see. Top three?
Number one.
Maybe number one to some people. I don't know.
Who are the other great Grizzlies?
Gasol, both of them, both Mark and Powell.
They were together.
No, they weren't together. They played.
No, I mean with Conley. Conley and Gasol were together.
Mark, yeah.
Yeah.
Not Powell, but yeah, Mark was together. Z-Bo, beloved. Now, granted, Z-Bo didn't start his career in Memphis. Both Mark and Mike did. Conley's probably top three.
Do you think Penny Hardaway is loved more than any of the Grizzlies?
That's a good question.
Even though he never was there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of Memphis, but I would say now that Penny Hardaway is back coaching the team, probably.
That would be neat if he played for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
That would really give him an edge there.
Yeah, but he didn't.
No, he did not. But when you just think of basketball in Memphis, I think Penny Hardaway before you think any of those guys.
Maybe. I was just thinking just in the lens of Grizzlies, though. So, I mean, I think Conley, yeah. I mean, top five, there's no debate top five. Maybe number one. Yeah, maybe he's the best Grizzly ever. I don't know. But he's gone. He is traded to Utah, which if I'm Utah, I'm feeling pretty good in this arms race in the West. You need a point guard. Ricky Rubio's not good enough. You need someone to kind of help Donovan Mitchell score. You need someone who can play defense, facilitate, and shoot. Mike Conley checks all those boxes. He heads to Utah. Memphis gets a pretty good haul back, though. Memphis gets 2 first-round picks, the number 23 in this year's draft, which I don't know. Maybe if you're Memphis, you – I don't know who you'd get at 23.
Grant Williams.
No, you don't need Grant. You got Jaren Jackson. So.
Admiral Schofield.
Not with the 23 pick. I don't know. And a future first-round pick. I don't know the details of the future first-round pick yet. Have those come out yet? Cam, have you seen the future details on what year that would be? See if 2020 protected, so that we don't really know. Probably lottery protected, I would say.
Pick will convey as a late lottery pick in 2020 or 2021.
Okay, so convey as a late lottery pick. So maybe it's just top 10 protected.
Will become a lightly protected pick in 2022, 2024.
So the Grizzlies come out with 2 first-round picks, which – as a, you know, a team that's rebuilding, that's a pretty good haul. They get Grayson Allen, the Dookie, back. The Dookie, laughing at the
Grayson
Dookie.
Allen in Memphis.
Oh,
no, I'm
yeah.
laughing at Grayson Allen going to Memphis.
Yeah, doesn't really seem like a fit. He,
no,
it seemed like he was perfect for Utah.
He's gonna
now he's heading to Memphis, where him and Chandler Parsons are going to just have weird interactions.
Grayson Allen seems like a weird guy in Memphis.
What about Kyle Korver?
Weird guy in Memphis.
Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver. Now, Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder fits Memphis. Although, I don't know if any of these guys will be in Memphis when the season actually starts. Grayson Allen will be. Grayson Allen will be, but Kyle Korver and Jay Crowder. I would imagine get bought out. We'll see. Weird situation over the next couple years where they owe Boston their draft pick. It's top 6 protected this year, so maybe it makes sense for Memphis just to go completely all in on the youth movement, tank, try to get a top 5 pick, and then try to be good the year after when they have to give their unprotected pick to Boston. Nothing to add there? Okay.
Not really.
Okay, no. Let's go to break. But that's the big story of the day, I guess, right now at least. Memphis, if you are a Memphis fan or just a basketball fan, Mike Conley is the era is over. The grit and grind era officially done. Gasol, Zebo, Tony Allen, and now Mike Conley. All of them gone. Utah gets pretty interesting in the West. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. So happy. Good job by you, though, Ben. It's like I always say, gotta get the big man going.
Wish we could let it play for about a minute.
I don't, but I'm happy that you're happy for at least the 30 seconds.
I'll take what I can get, I guess.
So what are we looking at in terms of what would keep you moving in the right direction? What would keep you engaged and feeling good? Conley didn't do it for you. Mike Conley getting sent to Utah didn't really do it for you. I've really enjoyed the reports coming out of Houston.
What's happening in Houston?
I mean, just with Chris Paul and James Harden.
Yes.
Like everyone who knows anything about the NBA who covers it is saying, no, these guys hate each other. This is bad. This is toxic. And then you have Houston just trying to say, no, guys, this is overblown. They're fine. Everything's fine.
That's coming to an end. And Harden will not return any of Chris Paul's attempts to contact him, right?
That's one of the reports.
Chris Paul's been reaching out trying to say, hey, man, what's going on? Maybe we get together. Let's work through this.
I mean, just the top of this Yahoo article that really tries to deep dive into this, the rift in their relationship. This just is, I'll just read it. This is going to be me just reading on the air. Because I can't put it any better than the Yahoo report, and I think that you have to know, you have to hear it the way it's written just to kind of get an idea of how crazy this is. The delicate relationship between Houston Rockets stars James Harden and Chris Paul has been termed unsalvageable, and the star players want a divorce. Paul went to Rockets management and demanded a trade, and Harden issued a him-or-me edict following the Rockets' second-round loss to the Golden State Warriors. The backcourt mates went nearly 2 months without speaking to each other during the season, sources said, creating a tenuous environment for teammates and everyone involved in the franchise. Harden hasn't returned Paul's repeated attempts at communicating this offseason after a year in which the pair repeatedly got under each other's skins with petty acts in practices and games. And then you had some reports about, like, James Harden, when he's in the gym working out, likes to go and just have his own court, his own little basket to shoot at. And there was a report that, you know, Chris Paul would take a teammate down there and just play one-on-one to get in Harden's way and disrupt Harden's shooting.
Maybe he was just trying to break through some of the tension. And he's like, hey, man, mind if I play with you?
Well, what you have here are two of the most – weird's not the word I'm looking for. Two of the most hard to get along with superstars. What's a better way to say that? You're a words guy. Two of the most
– confrontational?
Confrontational, maybe. Okay, yeah, I think I'll ride with confrontational. Like, both these guys have checkered histories when it comes to – getting along with teammates. Like, the Thunder broke up the Thunder in large part because they didn't really like James Harden off the court. Like, not so much the players, but the front office. And if you recall, they got rid of James Harden for, you know, some draft picks and Jeremy Lamb, basically, because James Harden couldn't be trusted.
He's like, just kind of a toxic guy.
Like, they're in the NBA Finals, and James Harden is seen out constantly in Miami in the nightclub. In the nightclub partying with Trina in Miami instead of getting ready for, you know, the NBA Finals. And then James Harden was no good in that final series. So Oklahoma City was like, yeah, cool. We're just going to go ahead and get rid of you. Jeremy Lamb, sounds good. And then you have Chris Paul and, I mean, Chris Paul and the Clippers. I mean, that was well documented how him and Blake Griffin hated each other. Now, him and DeAndre didn't really get along either. So you pair those two together who have already had problems. I mean, and I didn't even mention yet James Harden's problems with Dwight Howard. Right? I mean, that Dwight Howard goes there and that doesn't work either, even though basketball-wise on the court, it makes a ton of sense. Put a big center with a guard who is awesome in the pick and roll, throw him lobs all day. They couldn't make it work. And at that point, we all just looked and laughed and said, yeah, James Harden and Dwight Howard, of course it's not going to work. Dwight Howard's a child. We all kind of blame Dwight Howard for it. Which, I mean, I'm sure Dwight's not innocent. Dwight's kind of in this same line of being tough to get along with, too. But James Harden has had issues twice before. Chris Paul has had issues, at least with the Clippers. And now they find themselves in a weird juxtaposition because Chris Paul did the thing that, you know, kind of ruined Carmelo's career. And that was get as much money as you could. Get as much as you could. Get as much money as you can. Value the money over happiness. Right? Like, Carmelo signed that huge extension in New York when the team wasn't going to be very good. He's like, give me all the money I can. We'll figure it out later. He got all the money, and then it was a disaster. And then he started getting passed around the league, traded to places that didn't want him, bought out, things like that. And now he's out of the league. Chris Paul was in a similar situation where he's like, you know what? I'm 33, 34 years old. Give me the $160 million deal for 4 years, please. And now, 1 year later, Chris Paul's like, I got to get out of here, man. I got to get out of Houston. And Houston's like, okay. Like, James Harden gave them the him or me speech. And obviously the answer there is you want James Harden over Chris Paul at this point in their career. But the problem is Houston's calling around saying, hey, anybody want Chris Paul? And everyone's like, nah, not really. Not really. I really don't want to pay a 34-year-old point guard that's 6 foot and lost a lot of his athleticism. I really don't want to pay him $120 million the next 3 years.
Is he locked into that money?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no way you could just give him up for less.
No. I mean, you could give him up. You could give him up for nothing.
But nobody's going
to. But no one has $40 million to take him in for nothing, and you're not going to give away any good players for him at this point.
Well, what do you do with him?
That's the problem. And that's why they're at this impasse.
Just going to leave him on the roster and they'll hate each other?
I don't know, because they literally might fight each other.
Now, that would be good. It would be good for ratings.
Oh, yeah. Like, the Houston Rockets games would be must-see TV if you just had them rotating. I mean, this is already kind of what they did last year, which was James Harden, you do your ISO thing for five possessions, then we'll let Chris get two of them. And we'll just keep doing one-on-one basketball the whole time.
I think you got to just sit them down in a room and have a good stern talking to and try to see if we can get along. I mean, if they both got to stay, just see if they can get along. I mean, why do they have to hate each other? What can it really be over, you know?
Well, I think you have Chris Paul, who's always been the best player on his team, or at least thought he was the best player on his team, and he's not.
Well,
he's no longer the best player, and you have James Harden, who probably gets tired of Chris Paul yelling at him all the time. Chris Paul is one of those guys who wants to demand excellence, and James Harden is kind of a, I don't want to call him a lazy superstar because he gets 36 points a game. You're not lazy, but he's not really the on and off the court killer that you want from your alpha guys. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why he'll never win a title.
Well, Chris Paul probably feels similarly to you.
Well, Chris Paul should also recognize he's no longer the best player on the team.
I don't know if it's an issue of being the best player on the team as much as it is just like James Harden needs to take this more seriously and play team basketball, because we all know what happens when he gets to the playoffs and falls apart. We lose.
Well, if they've both got to stay there, then they've got to work through it. You know, that's the only answer. If you can't get rid of Chris Paul, you got to be able to – those guys got to be able to work through it.
Well, if you're the Houston Rockets, you're probably feeling that same way right now. You're like, man – we can't really do anything with Chris Paul. Now, they've had a train wreck of an offseason so far in terms of how they've handled Mike D'Antoni, and now with Chris Paul and James Harden, like, we should be calling the Houston Rockets the favorite in the West. I feel like they were the second best team in the West all year behind the Warriors. And the Warriors, we know, aren't going to have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson next year. I feel like we should be talking about this is the Rockets' opportunity to come through and take the stranglehold on the Western Conference. And instead, we're talking about them breaking up and then maybe having to just give Chris Paul away.
Well, you can't just sit around with a guy that you hate for 3 years.
It's tough.
I mean, if that's really what it is, then I don't know. I mean, what do you do? If you can't get rid of him, what can you possibly do?
I don't know what the answer is here. This is why it's so fascinating to me, because, like I said, everyone has their own story. Yahoo ran one. ESPN ran one. These guys hate each other. The Athletic ran a piece not too long ago. Like, these guys do not like each other. They don't want to play together. But you can't get rid of James Harden, and no one wants Chris Paul. So I don't know what the hell you do. And at the same time, it's kind of Chris Paul's fault for wanting the $160 million to stay in Houston. But the Houston owner had to pay him, because you can't lose him for nothing. And that's another part of the reports that I find so funny, is that they're saying the Houston Rockets owner has been miserable and mad over that contract since he had to sign it. I don't want to give Chris Paul $160 million, damn it. But here we go. And it's been a disaster ever since.
I guess you just got to hope and pray that somebody will take Chris Paul off your hands.
Maybe. Maybe.
Or you could get rid of James Harden.
I just don't know what you get I don't think there's any way to get equal return for James Harden, and that would be much more crippling. I don't think 34-year-old Chris Paul could carry a team through a season.
But if you can't get rid of him, he's just like the cancer stuck on your program, or not your program, your franchise.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, what else can you do? Maybe they just need to fist fight. Maybe just let it come to that.
Well, there was a clip that came out from last year, not this last season, I guess 2 years ago, where they're in the huddle during a game, and Chris Paul and James Harden are shouting at each other. Chris Paul standing up, which I understand that with James Harden. When I'm arguing with somebody, I don't like what they stand up. It's just, I don't know if it's something just animalistic. Like,
we need to be on the same like eye length. I don't need you standing hovering over me like you are superior. So Chris Paul standing up. Yeah, I don't like that. If you stand up, if you did this or
I'm
that,
start doing that during this or that.
If you did this or that standing up, it would go from playful to me getting angry. I don't know. Something just triggers in
me. I can't
me.
Wait until Thursday now.
Something just triggers in me. Like, don't stand over me. And Chris Paul is standing over James Harden as he's sitting down and trying to, like, motivate him and coach him. And he sticks his hand out for a fist bump, and James Harden just smacks it away. Like, get your fist out of here. And then just keeps yelling at him. Like, this has been festering for a while. And like I said, this is a team that we should be talking about being the best team in the West right now. And instead, we're talking about who the hell is going to take Chris Paul. And we're acting as if Chris Paul is a negative player because of the contract. Like, I think Chris Paul's still good. He can still help some teams. But, yeah, like, I don't know who's lining up to get him with this big-ass contract.
Well, just let him fight.
Just let him get it over
just
with?
Just let him fight. Let him
put some boxing gloves on and put him in the ring?
I think sometimes you can still accomplish things with someone you hate. You remember yesterday we talked about, or I guess 2 days ago, talking about the bandmates and the great songwriting duos that hated each other, but they still put out great stuff. I think you can still accomplish things with someone you hate.
I don't know, man. I feel like if it happens, I mean, I do agree with what you're saying in the short term. You, A, have to be accomplishing great things, which, look, the Rockets haven't been accomplishing great things. They keep coming up short. If they were winning championships like Kevin Durant and Draymond, you could not like each other and make it work. Like, even Shaq and Kobe, though, who were three-peating, didn't like each other towards the end of that. Now, granted, that was after they'd quit winning, but still.
It's also probably a different mindset when you're talking about creative minds and, like, doing a band in a band or something like that versus athletic guys on a basketball court, because those two types of people are typically wired differently.
Creative guys, one thing. Athlete guys, always obviously competitive and wants to be the best and has had that mindset pretty much his whole life, for the most part. Now, you'll have your role players who just want to fit in, but when you get two stars putting together and let them butt heads, it could be ugly.
Probably works differently on the court than it does in a band.
I don't know. I don't know if it does or not, but I do think, Cody, the key is, like, you have to be making good music, like really good music. You can stay together if you are selling out arenas and having number one hits and making a bunch of money, but if you hate each other and you can't chart, if you can't get on the charts, that's when you break up, right? And right now, the Houston Rockets have been good, like I said, but they aren't accomplishing their goals. They're coming up short every year. And then when they come up short, they point the fingers at each other. Either because Chris Paul's old and gets hurt like he did 2 years ago, or James Harden disappears in Game 6 like he did this year.
Well, surely out of all the NBA teams, somebody will take Chris Paul off their hands.
Maybe. There might be a scenario that makes sense. I mean, I don't know. And another team that found themselves in a who thought they were next, right? Like, who kind of were like the Rockets in terms of, yeah, we're right there on the doorstep. The Boston Celtics, maybe them trading Gordon Hayward to Houston and getting Chris Paul back. Maybe that makes sense after losing Kyrie Irving.
Talk about a clown show.
Cody, your Lakers are trying to get rid of everybody but three players. They'll probably have a spot for him.
Chris Paul would be a good fit with the Lakers. I don't know if we can eat up that much money, though.
Well, the problem is, like, I don't know if Houston just wants to get rid of him. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Houston doesn't want to just give him away for free. I feel like they're like, hey, we kind of need something back, and right now the Lakers have two guys on their roster that they like.
We got nothing to give.
Kuzma and LeBron, that's it. Like, Anthony Davis isn't on the roster yet. And the report last night was the Lakers are trying to trade their other three guys to clear out the rest of the cap space. Like, they want it to just be LeBron, Kuzma, and Anthony Davis when free agency rolls around.
We'll give you a signed Kobe jersey.
Please take
more. That's all we got.
Please take Mortiz Wagner, however the hell you say his name, the Michigan guy, off of our hands. We'll pay you to take these players off of our hands. Just get rid of them. So what's happening in Houston fascinates me. What's happening in Boston, though? Man, that's crazy, too. We'll talk about that next. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Congratulations to Volunteer Vodka.
this offseason's going to have a lot of movement. It already has. When you have guys like, you know, free agents that you are trying to figure out where they go, and then you have someone like Mike Conley, who's never been an all-star, but he's always been right there on the cusp of being an all-star. And then you have someone like Chris Paul and even Kevin Love, who was in a similar situation to the Melo and the Chris Paul thing, where Kevin Love was like, hey, I appreciate you giving me all this money, Cleveland, but I really don't want to be here losing all these games. And now Kevin Love's like, hey, can you trade me? And everyone around the league's looking around like Big Sean, like, I don't know, man. I don't know if we want you, Kevin Love. Like, you're a good player, but are you worth that big money? Ah, I don't know if I can't do it. Not going to be able to do it. Maybe there's a Houston and Cleveland trade where Chris Paul has to go to Cleveland and he's just upset. But that wouldn't help what Cleveland's trying to do. They're trying to go young. That bringing Chris Paul in wouldn't make sense, but there's just a lot of overpaid guys towards the tail end of their prime wanting to move, and you're just looking around like, well, guys, it's not always about the money. It shouldn't always be about the money. You shouldn't just lock in the biggest contracts you can get. Now, granted, Kevin Love's not $40 million. He was just he's making $28.9 million. So he's a little bit under 30. It's not as bad as Chris Paul. But he's getting paid for the next 4 years as he ages and as he continues to break down because he's dealt with injuries the last couple years. But you're like, Kevin Love, man, you knew you weren't going to be happy in Cleveland after LeBron left, right? Like, this isn't a surprise to anybody. You knew this was going to be bad, and you took the money. So don't come here asking for a trade now. Like, we'd love to trade you. No one wants you. Maybe the Hawks will trade for him. That was a report yesterday.
Oh, God.
I'd take Kevin Love on the Hawks. I think Kevin Love can still ball.
Go ahead.
I mean, it would also be draft pick related, where the Hawks are trying to get up to number five to take somebody at number five, trading some of their later picks with the Cavs. Houston should be in line in the Western Conference. Cody, this time last year, I don't think there was anybody you would trade places with. Maybe Philadelphia. I remember that was the argument, right? Like, who would you rather be, Philadelphia or Boston?
Like, yeah, we talked about that at one point.
Yeah, who would you rather be for the next 5 years, Philadelphia or Boston?
Yeah, Boston.
I think I took Philadelphia.
Then it was Boston.
Now, I'm not saying Philadelphia is knocking anything out of the park right now, but they look pretty stable, all things considered, because Boston is going through it this offseason.
Who's got it worse right now, Boston or Houston? Boston, right?
That's a good question, because at least Houston has James Harden, right?
Right.
At least Houston has James Harden, but, I mean,
that's why my quick answer would be you'd rather be Houston, but still, you're also on the tougher side of the NBA, too.
I don't know. The East is going to be pretty tough next year. From top to bottom, the West is still going to be better, but yeah. Those top teams at the East are going to be pretty good next year.
Thinking Golden State long term, I guess.
Sure.
So really, I guess next year maybe you just have to deal with LeBron and
I think Portland. I still have to go with Boston. I think I still have to go with Boston because they do still have flexibility with draft picks, and at least you feel like Jason Tatum's going to be a good player. At least people still think that.
You'd rather be Boston right now?
Man, I don't know if I would want to sign up to be the team that has to pay Chris Paul $120 million these next 3 years as your two stars are hating each other. Maybe, though. Like, I don't know if there's a clear-cut answer, Cody, because Houston, well, if they stay together, Houston will still be one of the four best teams in the West. Right now, I don't think Boston is going to be one of the four best teams in the East next year.
Maybe from a team perspective, you'd rather be Boston, but I think that the one whose fans feel the worst is Boston.
Oh,
I think Houston fans probably feel better than Boston fans.
What Houston fans I've read on these message boards and in the comments of all these Twitter stories, Houston fans are kind of in denial saying this isn't true in terms of all the fighting and stuff. They're saying, oh, this is overblown. Look at Chris Paul's Instagram. He said it's not true.
Boston may be in better shape as a team. Houston in better shape as a fan base.
But
maybe.
you see yesterday, Al Horford opts out of his contract, right? Says, I'm not picking up this $30 million option. Everyone's like, okay, good. Great for Al. Team guy. He's going to sign a team-friendly deal, and he's going to help us get more cap space, and everything's going to be good. Al loves Boston. And to me, I argued with people on the internet yesterday. I was like, this sounds good in theory, but I think Al's going to look around and say, do I really want my best teammate to be Jason Tatum? And my second best guy to be Gordon Hayward? When I can go somewhere and make big money on a contender? No, Al loves the Celtics. He's staying. He's just helping us. And then the report comes late last night. The Celtics and Al Horford are preparing to split ways as Al Horford's getting big offers with contenders. And apparently, according to Mark Stein, which this is surprising, belief around the front office is that Al Horford knows there's a four-year contract worth $100 million waiting for him on June 30th. So he's going to get paid. Big money. We'll see who that's with. But Horford's a good player. And he's someone who I think is going to age gracefully as he gets older just because he's smart. And he can shoot threes for a big man. I think that's key.
He's been around the league a long time now.
Something a lot of people don't give Al Horford credit for. I don't know how many guys you could say this about. Al Horford's made the playoffs every year he's been in the league.
Really? Since what, 06?
I believe he was the 2008. He was like 07, 08. So he's the 07 draft, 2008 season. He's been in the playoffs every year of his career. And that's, you might laugh at that and say, well, eight teams make the playoffs in the East. But yeah, he did that with Atlanta. Like before Atlanta became somewhat respectable. He helped take that Hawks team to the playoffs in 2008. And the Hawks had the longest streak in the league, or at least in the Eastern Conference, of playoff makes until Al Horford left. They were only passed by the Spurs. Like, the Spurs always make the playoffs, obviously.
Al's been around for a while.
He goes to Boston and turns them immediately into he takes them to another level with Isaiah Thomas. Like, Isaiah Thomas doesn't score 30 points a game that year without Al Horford. They don't make the Eastern Conference Finals last year without Al Horford. Every year he's in the league, he makes the playoffs, so he's going to be valued. I'm still waiting to see who the hell's offering him $100 million, but Boston, man, they went from dreams of having Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving to losing Kyrie, losing Anthony Davis. He goes to your biggest rival, and now Al Horford's dipping too. Two teams that you thought had next, the Houston Rockets and the Boston Celtics, are all looking around saying, well, what now? Maybe a potential landing spot. You know, a couple of these teams we talked about. Maybe a landing spot tomorrow for Grant Williams. I don't know if he makes sense in Memphis. Was Jaren Jackson there? Like, I don't know what position. You know, maybe Jaren Jackson plays the five, and Grant could be an undersized four, at least a bench four. Like, I don't know. Maybe it makes sense in Boston. The NBA draft. We're going to see a couple more movements today and tomorrow as we get set for the draft. Any final thoughts on Boston?
I would not want to be a Celtics fan.
That's true, anytime.
I would feel very – not anytime. I would feel – in the 80s would be nice. I would feel very, very abused as a fan.
Well, is this going to change the line of thinking with, you know, just in sports in general, especially the NBA, but just all sports? Like, man, things don't always pan out. You got to be aggressive. Like, combined with what we've seen in sports, right, with the Los Angeles Rams going all in and making the Super Bowl, with the Toronto Raptors going all in for Kawhi and winning the championship, and seeing Boston, who, Cody, like you said, you made the argument they were the team that you wanted to be last year. Like, they had the next 10 years set up. People thought they were going to be the new dynasty in the NBA.
And they just botched it all.
And it's been ruined. It's been completely ruined, and it's over.
It's done. In a year's time, it's all gone. Good night.
And we've talked before, you know, at nauseam about how the Celtics could have had Jimmy Butler, Paul George a couple years ago. They didn't. They didn't want to trade. They could have had Kawhi Leonard last year. didn't want to trade.
And with everything they had in place, what did they get out of it? Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
They never even won the East.
Nothing. It's crazy to me that they hitched their wagon to Kyrie Irving. That was their big move, is we're going to get Kyrie Irving. Which, by the way, turns out maybe should have been a red flag when Kyrie Irving was like, hey, I know LeBron James is the best player since Michael Jordan, but don't really like playing with him. This isn't fun. Yeah, we go to the finals every year, and yeah, we won a championship, but this isn't fun. I want my own team. Turns out that should have been a red flag. And they hitch their wagon to him, and like you said, Cody, they have nothing to show for it.
And they got in a situation where all those young players were able to play and able to think that they really meant something to the team, and then Kyrie comes back and it's a mess.
The best laid plans don't always work out. I mean, you could take that and put it across for any sport, right? Like, go back to 2 years ago of Tennessee basketball, right? You lose to Loyola. Oh, that's okay. We got so-and-so coming back. Everything's going to be fine. We'll make the Final Four next year. Never, it's okay that we botched that game against Loyola. Next year will be fine. Next year will be good. I mean, the regular season was, but you made it one game further, and you made the Sweet 16, right? You didn't do anything extra.
Nothing to show.
Nah, it was okay losing to Kentucky in the SEC championship. We'll win it next year. No.
Couldn't even get a tournament title.
Couldn't even get a regular season title. Tennessee football. Obviously, I don't need to point out to you all the promising recruiting classes that you felt good about the last 5 years, right? Like, just wait till these guys get a little older. We'll get so-and-so here to play, and everything's going to be fine.
Well, we sent some guys to the NFL.
Hey, 2015, we were close. Only 21 points away from being undefeated or whatever it was. Everything's going to work out in 2016. Just wait.
Doesn't always work out for the teams that are primed for the future.
No. Like, the future is fickle, man. Nothing's promised in the future. This ties into what you were saying, Cody. Go for the now. Go for the moment. Like, I feel like in sports, that should be kind of the mentality. And that's, Cody, why I've had no problem with what the Lakers are doing.
It's almost like complacency kind of sets in. When you're good on a certain level, I think sometimes teams lose the urge to still get a little bit better.
Yeah.
Whereas the Celtics, like you said, they could have gotten a guy like Kawhi that would take them into that next gear. You know, take them through the stratosphere instead of just being number one on earth.
Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's greed. Like, you know, if it's greed, like, we don't need to trade for Kawhi. We can wait a year and get Anthony Davis. Like, the Lakers did that with Paul George. We don't need to trade for Paul George right now. We'll get him in next year when he's a free agent. You just keep waiting and waiting and thinking it's going to be okay. Like, I think hope gets people, right? And they're always kind of looking at best-case scenarios like, Jason Tatum's going to become a superstar, man. Look what he did in the playoffs. We don't need to upgrade the wing. We got Tatum and Gordon Hayward. And then you look around, you're like, these guys aren't actually as good as we thought they were. Turns out Kawhi is a lot better than them. I just wonder, are we at the tipping point now? Because if not, I think we should be. In terms of future versus present, like, teams should be more aggressive just going for it. Figure the rest of the stuff out later. Again, that's why I think people are overestimating the Pelicans' haul, right? Everyone feels good about the Pelicans right now. In New Orleans. Like, hey, look at what they got for Anthony Davis. Look at all these assets they have. Yeah, if everything works to plan, that's great. If it doesn't, you're not going to have anything to show for it. Picks and potential doesn't always outweigh the present and big success. I'm still not convinced that your Kansas City Chiefs, Cody, aren't going to be kicking themselves next year.
Not my Chiefs. I already told you they're not making the playoffs.
Like, last year, they were in a similar situation around the trade deadline. Like, they could have been more aggressive trying to get some defensive help, get some secondary help. Like, maybe they would have gotten Earl Thomas if he didn't get hurt. I don't know. But they didn't go out and get any help on defense. And what you saw happen in the AFC Championship game was because of that. You had old-ass Eric Berry, who's hurt, limping around on a bum leg, getting torched by Gronkowski.
Ass. Can't call him old-ass. Come on.
Banged up. Eric Berry. I love Eric Berry. Don't you try
you
to take the
old ass.
Don't you try to take the corner of defending Eric Berry.
You can't use the old ass term with Eric Berry. Come on.
You have injured over the hill Eric Berry out there trying to guard Gronkowski, and you have nobody helping him in the secondary.
Gronk was injured and over the hill too.
Yeah, but he's still Gronk.
Still lit him up.
He's still Gronk. Gronk has the advantage. He doesn't need athleticism. He has the God-given advantage of being, what, 6'7" and 280 pounds and can run like a polar bear?
He's quite a rebounder. You got to – what's the phrase, strike while the iron is hot?
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
I truly agree with that. You have to take your opportunities when you can have them.
You can't just think, okay, we've got a really, really good core. Think about how good these guys are right now. Think about how good they'll be next year. Sometimes you got to do it now. Sometimes the window closes sooner than you think it's going to. That's what it comes down to. How long of a window do you have? How long does that window stay open? I mean, if you're a bird and you're trying to soar into a house, you see the windows open, but it could close at any time. And you better get in the house before that window closes, or you're going to fly right into that window. It's probably going to knock you out. You're going to die. Think of it like that. That's how I think of it.
A
bird
out.
Trying to fly into a window.
Yeah.
The window closes, just like football, basketball.
And then you break your neck.
Right.
And next thing you know, you're stuck Boston. With just Marcus Smart as your point guard and your second best player.
Next thing you know, you're the Celtics.
Yeah.
They are the bird that soared the skies too long and never made it into the house, and eventually they flew right into that window thinking it was a lake. And they broke their neck.
Neck just snapped.
It's like all those birds that die trying to fly into Boise State's field. They think it's a body of water. It's a real thing that happens.
I don't understand how it's like that, though, because the window never closes on the field. It's just always closed on the field.
The first analogy is really the one that I was going for.
I think you just want to drop in the tidbit that birds die on Boise State's turf.
I just got to thinking about bird deaths.
Okay.
And also, I don't know if that's true. Somebody told me that one time. I don't know that that's true.
Didn't you just punctuate your point with that's true? Look it up.
Cam, can we look that up and see if,
like,
if
is it, wasn't that State how you dismounted field? That take was, that's true. Look it up. Birds die on Boise State's field.
I'm sure you can go to Snopes or what's that site that checks all the
Snopes?
Snopes.
I think Snopes just does don't they just do like politics and stuff like that?
I think they do everything.
Are they like MythBusters just trying to crack the truth on all
these
things?
I don't
know.
Somebody told me one time that the birds were trying to fly into Boise State's field. It's a myth.
I feel like it's just that they just like poop over the field.
I think they would do that on any field.
Hey, yeah, they poop wherever they want.
I think it's water.
That wouldn't really make sense because I doubt there's any, like, sea hunting birds, like, in Boise, Idaho.
That plus, like, I don't know, like, I've never seen water that blue either.
There's still birds that go, like, over lakes and...
Yeah, but, like, lakes...
That's another good point about the blue.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's very many bodies of water that are, like, bright blue like that.
Maybe that would be a problem if the field was in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Like, lake water doesn't look like that.
No, it looks brown.
Uh-huh. Pond water, you know, green. That'd be more likely just a regular turf field.
So that's not a true thing that happens.
So don't look it up.
I don't remember where I heard that.
So, don't look it up.
It is a rumor, Cam said, so.
I don't know if it's a rumor as much as it is an urban legend. I think I'm calling it more of an urban legend.
It's a stupid urban legend.
That radio host across the country all say, you know, birds... Birds dive headfirst into that Boise State field. I know the turf guy there. He has to pick up 30 dead birds a day.
I think I'm
30
just
dead birds a day.
I'm just going to keep perpetuating it as fact.
That's fun.
From now on. Now that I know that it's not true, that makes me even more likely to keep telling people that it's true.
I want my teams to be more aggressive, and I want them to go for it. Like, I do hate the Boston Celtics, but I'm really just frustrated that they just kept being greedy.
Well, you need to hope that the Titans get rid of Marcus Mariota soon.
And just keep waiting. I don't know where that ties in. Where does that tie in?
You said you want your teams to be aggressive and go for it.
Well, I mean, who are they going to get besides Mariota?
A different quarterback.
I mean, that's fine, but like...
Find him.
I hope they do find like a good quarterback, whoever it is. I've told you before, that's my big problem with WWE, right? Like the current product of wrestling. Like they have all these big matches they want to do, and they just keep waiting to try to do them all at WrestleMania. So the rest of the storylines stink. And then they just only care like in February leading up to WrestleMania. And then they'll try to get the storylines in, and then somebody will get hurt. So then they have to delay it another year. And it just never works out because they keep waiting. Like, hey, we got this really great idea. We're going to do it at WrestleMania. So the rest of the product's going to suck. But, hey, eventually this will pay off. And then it just never pays off. And it just keeps going with mediocrity.
No, you got to make WrestleMania the biggest event.
I think you just try to make your product the best at all times is what I think.
But you still – I mean, WrestleMania's still got to be at a bigger level, doesn't it? I mean, it's the ultimate event.
I feel like the goal should just be to raise your product at all times. Like, I don't think that we should necessarily meld this in right now waiting for football season. Like, we'll be good in football season. I feel like we should try to be as good as we can every day. That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, but when you have an event like that, I mean, that's tied to the history of your product.
I understand like what you're saying.
You can't just have...
My point would be if you're better all the time, you can go to an even higher level.
Yes.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like if you go from here...
But then what do you do?
Low to here, good all the time. And then you're like, hey, now we got to be really awesome because it's WrestleMania. Now you're all the way up here. Versus just being like right here, if you had just went here waiting for WrestleMania to put you up here, you see? Now we're here compared to here.
Well, the problem
here's
is you,
higher.
Then you run out of good storylines and stars, right?
That's not true. You could just...
I mean, if you have
it
your...
It just forces you to be more creative.
Well, if you have your WrestleMania matches at Survivor Series, then what are you going to do for WrestleMania?
Keep riding and being good. And constantly try to better yourself.
But if you put your biggest stars against your biggest stars... I mean, I still don't know what you do there. I mean, you only have so many big stars, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the story could be better is what I'm getting at. Like, my overall point is that you should just constantly try to be your best. Like, you shouldn't wait a year from now to be good. Like, if we're just going with the wrestling idea, like, don't save your good events for WrestleMania. Let's do them at SummerSlam. And let's get through the summer with good product. And then at WrestleMania, come up with something new and fresh. Like, don't just rest on your laurels and, you know, we're going to hold this idea in our back pocket. We're never going to use it until we have to. I think you should just constantly try to be at your best. Like, people would say that we should be at our best at football season, right? Like, that should be when we're, like, you know, rolling along, doing our best radio. So if we just kind of like, that fun stuff, yeah, let's save it for football season when more people are listening and people are expecting good stuff. I disagree with that line of thinking. I think we should just be as good as we can be every day. And as aggressive and always trying to be your best.
It's an interesting mindset.
Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.